Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 14, and your speakers are Bob and Audrey Meisner.
What a great weekend, just talking about the most important things. And Bob and I thoroughly enjoyed our time with you because we are totally family together. I think my favorite part is hugging all of you and looking in your eyes. And there's something about us people who love the Holy Spirit. There's a twinkle in our eyes. And I just want to thank Clint and everyone else for just all following this theme of the most important things, because there's nothing better than that, talking about the most important things. Bob and I love this ministry. We love Dr. Jim Richards and Brenda. We love this family. We love you guys. We also love what we do. Bob and I have the honor of conducting marriage conferences all over the world, probably at least two a month. We go to different churches and just promote how we can love each other in marriage. And I also do women's conferences, but also we do the daily TV show, and a lot of you have been asking about going to watch that online. So we actually brought some bookmarks, and I put them right beside the sound booth beside Bob there. And this just has the website on it and how to get to that online. So you can go pick it up, because it'll be a nice reminder for you. It's a good bookmark. And remember that every Thursday is Live Transformed Thursdays with the famous rock star, Dr. Jim Richards. I will say, I'm not going to say who said it, but someone said, you know what, I was just flicking channels, and I saw an old man in a really cool shirt. And I didn't even really know what he was talking about, but I just thought, man, this old man is wearing such a cool shirt. I had to get you with that one, Jim. And then she said, I started liking what he was saying, and before you know it, she was hooked, and then she started watching My New Day the rest of the week. We've got great shows the rest of the week. And so I got to bug my brother a little bit, right? That's just teasing. I love it. And so these are for you guys. Also, I wanted to mention you, some of you heard a snippet of our story this morning, and know people that you would really like to listen to that. And actually, if you go to our website, mynewday.tv, you can just go right to the homepage, and it says, watch our story. And you can get an hour-long version of that story if you know anyone that needs just a whole big dose of hope in their marriage. We get to be that couple now that said, oh my gosh, if they can do it. Yeah, I never planned to have that story, but that's our story. If they can do it, we can too. So I wanted to give you that. Also, we have books that are available at bobandaudrey.com. We didn't bring any with us right now, but you can go to that website. Okay, tonight. Bob and I started this morning by talking about experiencing God's love and what that looks like as the most important thing. And I'd like to just finish that story off by adding a mathematical equation to what is a belief. And a lot of you know this, but the equation of a belief is simply this. It's information plus an experience equals evidence or a belief. And that's why we're using the word experience God's love. Because a lot of people have heard the information. They've seen it on a billboard. They've sung the song, Jesus Loved Me, since they were a little kid. They have the information, but have they experienced that reality? Because if you have, and you guys all have, it's evidence. It's a belief. Nobody can take that away from you. And what happened with me in our marriage story is I started the story this morning when I said, remember when I said they were praying for me, and they said, will you see yourself the way God sees you? And there's a part of a story that I purposely left out. So if you can go back with me to that moment when I'm in my mom and dad's living room and this couple's praying for me, and they're saying, will you allow the Lord to set you free from the grief that is inside of you? And I said, yes. They prayed for me, and as I mentioned, the chains of fear that had been kept keeping me in prison were broken because of what Jesus did. The prison doors were open, and I began to walk free. I've known Jesus since I was this big, but when I was there, probably 40 years old, I experienced him in a way I had never experienced him before, because I needed him in that place. And I I knew in my head the information that God had forgiven me for my mistake. But once I had experienced it, nobody could take it away. In fact, after my eyes were closed and I saw myself clothed in this beautiful white glistening robe of righteousness, I saw this oil of joy come down on my robe and it made it slippery. And you can say, okay, now what is that about? Now you're getting super crazy, Audrey. But this was so important, and Jesus knew that about me. Because up till that point, I could walk into a public place, and I was a public person, and people knew what my public sin was. Those are not good things altogether. Because I would walk in, I could feel people as if they had Sharpie markers pointing at me and drawing that X, saying, look, there she is. There's that girl who calls herself a Jesus girl. Did you hear what she did? Why is she laughing? She does not deserve to be having fun right now. Who does she think she is going back in ministry? You see, no one had to say these things, but I could feel it. There's that woman that had a baby that was not from her husband. But in that moment, I still know exactly where I was and where I was standing. In that moment, the oil of the Holy Spirit came down on my robe and made it slippery, and those X's had nowhere to go. Thank you, Jesus. They had nowhere to go. And I'll tell you, nobody can take that away from me. I experienced it. I saw it in my imagination. I saw the whole thing. I could taste it. I could smell it. I experienced the freedom from shame. It's like I could just see that shame just dropping from me, and I have never put it back on since. It's not normal for a person to tell the world about the stupid and most selfish thing they did and still be okay. But I'm telling you, when I tell the story, it's pure worship. I'm like, God, if he can do this for me, I'm telling you people, he can do it for you. That is our Jesus. There is no shame attached to this story. It's glory. It's a glory story. And I love that because I remember after a conference one time, a guy came up to me, prayer lines coming up, people lining up, and a guy goes, so Audrey, is it just like alcoholism? Is it once an adulterer, always an adulterer? And he wanted to condemn me. But with a smile on my face, I said, no. And it's not like that for an alcoholic either. God will never identify you by the mistakes and choices that you make. He calls you a child of God. And I said, I was able to just speak such freedom to him with a smile on my face. It didn't even rattle me. Why? Because that information was added onto an experience which resulted in a belief in my heart, evidence that would go strong in a courtroom. Evidence says that no one can take this. 100 people could point their fingers at me in ridicule and shame, and I would say, I'm sorry, it's not landing. I believe it. I could not have that unless I had experienced a moment with God that nobody can take away. So I say all that to say tonight's message, experiencing God's love. What does it look like to experience God's love? And I want to get super practical about it. How do you experience God's love? You know, we want to. We long for that. And I thought of Philippians 3, 9 to 14. And I'm going to quote that in the Voice Bible. Philippians 3, 9 to 14, and it says this, when it really counts, may I be found belonging to him, not relying on my own righteousness, which is based on the law, but actively relying on the faithfulness of Jesus, the anointed one. For true righteousness is God supplied and faith acquired. I want to know him inside and out. I'm still quoting scripture. This is from the Voice translation. I want to know him inside and out. Listen to this. I want to experience the power of his resurrection that is joined with his suffering and shaped by his death so that I may arrive safely at the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've arrived there yet, that I am perfect in any way. But this one thing I am doing, I am charging ahead to gain everything and anything that Jesus has in store for me, and nothing is going to stand in my way because he has grabbed me and he won't let me go. I love that. that. It's in the Bible. I'm quoting scripture right now because he has grabbed me and he just won't let me go. He loves me that much. He has grabbed me and he won't let me go. And as I said, brothers and sisters, I'm not perfect yet, but I am, this one thing I'm doing, I'm putting my past behind me and I'm putting everything on the line for this mission. And I am sprinting ahead to the only goal that counts so that I can cross that line and win that prize and hear the voice of my Father calling me to the resurrection life that is found exclusively in Jesus, the Anointed One. That's scripture. That's experience. So how do we experience God's love? Well, the definition of love, we could go on forever. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love prefers others. Love loves their, true love can love their enemies. This is not natural human response to life and not human response to pain. But this is our calling. So this is a supernatural exchange. If we're going to love, we must experience his love before I could ever love my enemies or love that man that came pointing his finger at me. That takes supernatural love. And I can't love until I've received love, experienced his love, so that I can give that away. So in order to experience God's love, let's just for 2 seconds talk about the definition. Just talk about the enemies of love. One of them is fear. Perfect love expels all fear. We talked this morning about how fear will cause you to perform. Fear will cause you to want to control and control the process. And I was in with Janice Spiegel at a women's conference, and she told me about this missionary. I have an Africa story. Do you want to hear my Africa story? I didn't go to Africa, but I have an Africa story, and it's a good one. They had sent, they were sending a short-term missions trip over people to Africa, a whole team, and they had found out the drastic news that those women did not wear anything on top. I'm just saying they don't wear shirts. I'm just making sure you're awake. They wore beads, but they didn't wear shirts. And so they figured, you know what, we need to just nicely send them a box of T-shirts and say that we are going to be coming there, and we know this isn't part of your culture, but just in honor, do you mind just for our men's sake, oh my gosh, lest they stumble. For our men's sake, will you please have, just while we're there, have the women wear these shirts? So they got there, and sure enough, the women were wearing the shirts. The unfortunate thing was they didn't like how they felt on their nipples, so they went ahead and cut holes. So I'm sure the guys got there and went, oh my gosh, where do I look? Where do I look? Like they're just like headlights everywhere. Boobies, 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 boobies. You know? That to me is the ultimate story for controlling the process, right? That is controlling the process and it sabotages you every single time. We don't want to live in fear. The other biggest enemy of love that we are going to combat. I love not living in fear. I used to, for years, I mean, I am still on a process, in a journey, just like the rest of you, but I just really don't care anymore what people think, and it's awesome. I just don't have to impress God or people anymore, and I know I'm approved. God told me. I experienced that. It's evidence on my heart. I'm approved. So I don't have to try and get a big ministry or have a big name for myself or something. I'm like, I'm already approved. That's huge. There's no fear of failure anymore. And when it wants to come back, I can smell it. And I go, no, 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 no. We dealt with that. I've experienced a moment where God said, you are approved, girl. And no one can tell me he didn't tell me that. I'm approved. So another enemy of love, so we got the fear one, is selfishness. Right? I mean, let's just call us for what we are. We're human beings. We're selfish. And Bob and I do marriage ministry, so you can imagine, for years, we're like, how do we combat selfishness in these relationships? Because anyone who's a pastor or in ministry knows that when there's marriage issues, there's selfishness issues. So we went to YWAM years ago, and we learned that in order to combat anything, you got to respond in the opposite spirit. right? So when you've been attacking with anger, you respond with peace, and so on and so forth. So in my time with God, I remember saying and just crying out to help people in their marriages. And I said, God, we got to get into combat here. How are we going to combat this selfishness that people are in when it comes to their marriage? They're not preferring the other is more important. They have such a great big need to be right that they're being robbed of their entire relationship just because they want to win. They just want to be right. And this selfishness is integrating into their relationships. What do we do? What's the opposite? Selflessness. See, that's what I thought too. It's like so not profound. So I said, so I need more than selflessness. So what is the opposite of selfishness? And the Lord led me to a truth where he showed me that the opposite of selfishness is being satisfied. And you might think, what? That's what I did. I went, what? But then I started to meditate. What does it look like to be satisfied? I think of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To me, that's a picture of safety, of security, of peace, of freedom. Someone satisfied. And then I realized the picture that if I am truly satisfied and I am planted like a tree by the streams of the riverbank, like an oak tree, steady, bearing fruit in all seasons, prosperous, receiving from my source constantly in my secret place, I am naturally growing fruit. I'm not trying hard to push out the fruit. Oh, I gotta have patience. There it is, you know. I was not constipated when I did that. But I think that sometimes we try to grow fruit when God is just calling us and inviting us to be planted by the streams of water and abide in him, where we will naturally grow and we'll grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We'll grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, when you're a satisfied one, it's the opposite of being needy. And you guys, all of you world changers in here know what needy looks like. You can see it coming in the door and you walk the other way. Oh my gosh, there they are. Got to walk the other way. You know, because you needy makes you want to go run away because you know someone's going to suck the life out of you. But a satisfied one, ooh, a satisfied one, what does that look like? It's someone who is so full of the Lord that they can't help but giving constantly. So when people even get close to you, they'll taste and see that the Lord is good. And taste is an experience word. Let's talk about experience. How do you experience God's love? How do you experience anything? Think about it. How do you experience anything? Let's just get down to let's really do this. Let's help people experience God's love. I want to help you and me to learn how to experience God's love. We experience by involving our five senses. We taste, we feel, we see, we hear, we smell. For every one of those physical senses that the God gave us in our body, which are God-given for us to enjoy his goodness, there in turn is spiritual ones on the inside, where we hear God, where we see God, where we taste him, where we smell him, where we feel him in our secret place. And he and she who is satisfied in their secret place will combat selfishness every time, and they won't even have to try. So how do we experience God's love? I think of the gift of our imagination. Wow. When I first started doing heart physics, I started to engage my imagination without any shame. I think before that I thought, is this okay? Am I allowed to imagine this? Am I allowed to dream this up? Yes, it's a gift. I'll tell you one thing, the enemy sure likes to use your imagination. So why shouldn't we just redeem this and say, wow, this is a gift. This is a gift. I can see God. I imagine him. I see the garden of my heart and I say, Lord, bring me to places as I close my eyes and meditate on you. Let me see what this looks like. Let me see you on your throne. Let me see you, what you look like in all your glory with a sea of glass. I want to, in between now until the day I meet him face to face, I want to get to know him more every day and see him in a way that I just had never seen it before. That's my prayer. When I'm speaking in tongues, I'm just going, okay, Lord, Romans 8:24 says the Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness. If you ever need anything, the Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness. Do you want to hear God more? The Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness. Do you want to see him more? The Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness. The Holy Spirit was our number one gift given when Jesus left this earth. The Holy Spirit is our gift. And when it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, Romans 8:24 says this, because, listen to this, is so cool, because he prays with groanings that we don't even understand. And listen, the Father who knows our hearts knows exactly what the Holy Spirit is praying. That's some pretty amazing stuff right there. He helps us in our weakness, and the Father who knows our hearts knows exactly what the Holy Spirit is praying, and he's praying in perfect, harmonious will with the Father for your life. And then it goes on to say, and all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We quote that one all the time, but the one right before that, people, that's the Holy Spirit verse. We want to experience God's love. Ask him. So when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm saying, Lord, let me see with new eyes. Develop my ability to hear, to smell you, to taste you in every way, both in the physical world and in the spiritual world. We get to ask him for these things. If you want to experience God, ask him. He would love to show you. And then in faith, begin operate. Just start doing it. I remember one time I got a phone call. Someone hurt my feelings. Oh, boy. One thing we all have in common in this room is that we've all had the opportunity to forgive. Or am I wrong? Okay. This person really was mean to me, and I hung up the phone. I thought, okay, God, that's a big one. So who am I going to call? If it's so bad that it's one of two people, I'm either going to call my mom or call Bob. Because they got to know what this person did to me. Isn't it funny how our reaction is? So I had the, thank God, I said, Lord, what should I do? Who should I tell? Is it mom or Bob? Is it mom or Bob? Is it mom or Bob? And I felt the Holy Spirit. And oh, by the way, about hearing God's voice, it's just like learning how to play baseball. You practice. You might think, oh, I don't have that gift. I don't hear God's voice like other people do. Practice. Start acting on it. Start, you know what I'm saying? Like everyone, there's no one exempt. We were all his sheep and we all hear his voice. There are no exceptions. Everyone say out loud, there are no exceptions. I was created to hear God's voice so I can experience his love. So I if he says it, I'm going to believe it, and I'm doing that. So I was like, okay, Lord, just tell me in my heart, is it Bob or my mom? Where is that inkling going to go? Because I've learned how to just develop my frequency to hear in my heart. It's like tuning up a radio. You just get better at it. I'm telling you, you just get better at it. And he said to me in my heart, he says, I'm enough for this one. I'm like, really? Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? Because it's a bad one. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Jesus, I love you so much, and I know you're real, but you're invisible. And I really want some... I hate that he's invisible, and I want him to be actually with me in the car. So like, oh yeah, you are actually in the car with me. Okay, so Lord, if we're really doing this and you're enough for this, because it was super, super bad, then you are going to have to hold my hand. Because, and so what I did, I just put my phone down. I said, okay, Jesus, I'm telling you all about this one. And I needed him so bad that I just put my hand in that passenger seat. You guys can call me crazy, whatever you want. But I engage myself into what he says to be true, whether it's physically or in my heart or whatever. I put my hand there and I said, God, I'm just going to believe you're holding my hand right now. And I'm going to tell you all about it. Even though you know all about it, I'm going to tell you all about it. Because that really, really, really hurt my feelings. And I did not deserve that. I got to Target. Of course I was going to Target. I got to Target, and I took the cart, and I felt like, and I'm a list person. Poor Bob, pray for Bob. I am a list person to the max. I love crossing that baby out. If I did something that was not on the list, I write it down so that I can cross it out, because I love purpose. I love accomplishing stuff. I love going to bed, and I rocked my day. Darn it. I almost said the other one. That's right, I did. All the things on my list, done. I went off my list, and that's not like me at all. But I went right to the greeting card section. Didn't need a greeting card. Went right to the sympathy cards. Pulled off one, and it opened it up, and words are my love language. And this card said, during this time of hardship, please know, remember, and then he opened up and goes, the Lord is your shepherd. And I started writing this scripture, and I went, oh, I just needed something so that I could break. And I started crying. I put the card back, and I thought, man, if one card is good, two is better. I did read every single sympathy card, and I just, that's right. That should never have happened to me. That's right. And I took everyone. And I just took it right from my heart because Jesus does that. So we want to experience God's love. We want to experience it. We got to taste him. We got to feel him. We got to know him. And just the Lord tells us in the Bible that those who seek us, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Just have a want for him. There's no special keys, and that's also not going to look, I was just going to say, the other thing is take time to meditate. Take time. I mean, indulge yourself with time. That is my favorite thing in the world, and Bob knows it. Quiet yourself down and meditate. And when you're reading the scripture, picture it all taking place. The whole thing. I found a new version of the Bible because I'd read the Bible so much since I was a little kid. It was all starting to sound the same. Is it just me or is it just you? It wasn't speaking to me anymore because it was like, I've read that a million times. Jesus, like, I know your story is so good. I know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, every single story. You know, I know them. Get a new version. Ask for a new revelation. Help him to imagine it all taking place and you're there. And he's grabbing me and he won't let me go right now. I imagine that. And it's truth. I am charging ahead to gain everything and anything that Jesus has for me, and nothing is going to stand in my way because he has grabbed me and he will not let me go. So, take time to meditate. Take time. This is not a to-do list. This is just an invitation, by the way. There's no condemnation here. I'm just giving you some ideas. Meditate and memorize. Memorize in new versions, because then all of a sudden when you can't sleep at night, I'm turning 50 next year, and this whole sleep isn't as easy for me, so now I just memorize, and it just keeps going over and over, and I just go right to those verses I've memorized, and I've got a whole binder now called my memory book. My kids think I'm hilarious, because I love homework. I have since I was a little kid, and they're like, Mom, you're 50, and you make homework for yourself. I said, I know, it's my binder. Isn't it cool? And I go through my memory verses, and I have them all there, take it on the plane with me. But I'll tell you, something happens when you memorize and just imagine it. It turns from information, remember, equation of a belief, to experience. And then it's belief. It's evidence. And you begin living a life that you never could have even imagined. Meditate, memorize, and get personal. I'm telling you my stories, but you're different than me. What makes you smile? What makes you laugh? Because I'll tell you, God wants to make you laugh. He wants to make you smile. He wants to freak you out with his goodness. So what is good to you? What makes you feel comfort? What is it? What kind of music just blows your mind? Put that in your earphones when you go for a walk. And let Jesus uses secular music all the time to sing love songs to me. I just take my favorite songs that are love songs and I let him sing them to me. And I'm a Jesus girl. Can you imagine that God has anointed James Taylor to sing to me? Because James Taylor has sung that song. Jesus has used James Taylor to sing. Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself because I love you. Yes, I do. Yeah, you do. And I smile every time because you love me. But what's personal for you? What do you love? How sweet it is to be loved by you. James Taylor sings that one the best too. But I'm saying all this because there's gifts in front of you of the kingdom, which are righteousness, peace, and joy. They're waiting for you to open them. Will you actually live that life? Because as freely as you receive, you will freely give and you won't even be able to help yourself. Jimmy Bratcher went through all the ways to love and value people tonight. When we experience God's love, we won't be able to help ourselves. We have been given so much value that I'm his treasure that anyone that would come near me would want to know that they're valued because I can't help it. Because I'm not pretending. You actually are that precious. I'm not trying to just make up words. I don't have to try and value people. I can't help myself. Freely you have received. Freely give without trying. Ellen Spiegel mentioned Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to make the most of our time. That was the version I memorized. He had it, teach us to number our days. But after that, it says, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Let our children, how does it go? Let us see your glory at work and let our children see your miracles again. That's how that verse goes, and then it says something else. It's really good after that. Oh, it's so good. If I sat here long enough, it'd all come back to me because I have to go down that little neurological path. But anyway, it's about how make our efforts successful. Yeah, and it goes, yes, make our efforts successful. I love that. See, he knows I love plans. He knows I love CrossFit lists. That's not you, but there's things that you love. And he wants to love you just the way you are because he designed you to be loved by him. So walk into that and say yes to him every time. Then when you will, you'll receive, you will give, and you will live in a place of rest. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm done. There you go.